Welcome everyone. It is good to be here. You may remember that just a few weeks ago, we talked about when Jesus went up on the mountain and he was transfigured. And when I'm kind of spacing out, but I know it's good to be a disciple, but I'm not focused, I can be like Peter and say again, Lord, it is good to be here and to see Jesus' radiance. But what I need to do is not just blindly know that it's good to be here, but have a purpose and a vision for what God is doing with my life. So it's time as we cast off all the distractions. Hopefully you were singing with all your heart to God. Hopefully you weren't distracted. Hopefully you were focused on, you were singing to God. Hopefully when Anthony was praying, you were praying to God Almighty. Today's lesson, if your heart is in this, I believe will transform, one, your image of God, and two, take your Bible study higher. The lesson is called Transformers Part 2, The Revenge of God. That may be a little scary. Bear with me, and we'll see where we're going with the Scriptures. You know, lesson about transformation, about change, can be scary. You know, change is scary. Sometimes we're called to change if we're not doing what's good. The thing is, though, all change isn't good. I don't know if you know the story of in the Civil War, where the rebels, there was one battle. Everybody know their American history. The rebels lost, right? Amen? Okay? So, the rebels were on the run from the Union Army in the 1860s. And they were out there, they were hurting. If they did not retreat every day from the pursuing army of the Union, they would be wiped out. And many of them were. But this one unit was in a heavy retreat for days and weeks. And they kept retreating to stay alive because the enemy was upon them. Finally, it had been 4 weeks that they were in a retreat. Forced march. They could not stop. If they stopped, they would die. So what does that mean? Guess how many days they were wearing the same clothes? 4 weeks. I don't know about you, but if I wake up and have the same clothes on, I kind of feel a little uncomfortable, right? And that's all you need to say. But, so I feel like I need to change. And that's a good change. Sometimes our kids need to be reminded, did you change your clothes today? You got little ones, you have to change the diaper, right? That change is good. Well, for them, finally they reached a point where their scouts made it known to them that they had some time to rest. To actually get some relief. So, the commander of the rebel army said to them, okay, guys, I've got good news, and I've got bad news. The good news is, today, we get to change our clothes. And all the soldiers are like, hey, this is awesome! Oh, the bad news is, Larry, you change with Nick. Nick, you change underwear with Larry. So, the moral is not all change is good. Not all change is good. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to see here the spiritual aspect of this. And this may challenge some of you. This should challenge all of us. Paul is writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 about some false teachers in the church. About some people that were teaching things that were not of God, but they in all other regards of their life, they looked like disciples. In all other regards of life, they acted like disciples, but they were false teachers. Today's lesson is really not going to be much about false teachers, but here's what he says that's very, should alarm us all. and should humble us. Paul, talking about false teachers in verse 13, he says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. You know, really think about it. What is he saying? He's saying, you know, okay, we've already seen from Luke and Matthew that Jesus is radiant. God is light. Right? This little light of mine, we need to let it shine. God is light. The disciples that were chosen to go up on the mountain to see Jesus be transfigured, to be transformed when he was radiant and he was flashing lightning. We talked about that last time. What does it say? Satan masquerades like that. Are you walking your life with the knowledge that you have an enemy with such a power to deceive? Do you walk around and realize, okay, I've got somebody out there that's trying to trick me? And do you then go back to God for more reliance? Because you don't want to take on Satan by yourself. Now, okay, that's one thing. Now, that's not the end of it. Then he says, his servants, verse 15. His servants. So whose servants? Satan's servants. They masquerade as servants of light. So we've got a room here with many people. Hey, if I'm going to masquerade as a disciple, why not go where there's other disciples and trick them and pull them away? With just a little bit of false teaching here, just a little false teaching there. Now, some of us, we may say, oh, well, that's not me. Well, how do you know? How do you know? We're going to talk about being transformed today by Bible study, by having a powerful view of God, so that we will know. Make sure that we are not these false servants, but that we are serving the one true God, Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. That's what we're about. And look at your life. Look at this past week. Think about some of the things you did that were off the mark. Archery term, sin. Off the mark. You missed the mark. That's sin. Bullseye is the mark. Doing what's right in God's eyes. Missing the mark. That's sin. So this week, have you been missing the mark? This month, have you been missing the mark? Of course, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But is it so pervasive in your life that even doctrinally, you can't even teach someone else, let alone yourself, what is a disciple? What is a follower of Christ? But you're here, and hey, I'm fired up. Oh yeah, I was baptized. Oh yeah, I pray. Yeah, I read the Bible. Are you here as a true disciple, or are you masquerading as a disciple? A lot of times your behaviors will show it. You know, for me, a lot of times I don't act like a disciple. I don't. I simply just ask Denise, my wife. I don't act like it. The fights that we get in attest to it. The conflicts that you get in will attest to your willingness to submit to God. Or are you willing to get your revenge? Or do you want to wait for God to take care of the situation? A lot of times I want to take things in my own hand, and I want to get some kind of vengeance on Denise because she hurt me, or I'll give her the silent treatment. Thinking, well, that's better than, you know, slapping her, or better than swearing at her. Why? Why? It's still sin. So what I need to do is, for me, this is just me. I'm talking about, this is what I need to do so I'm not masquerading as some nice disciple, but in my heart, I have not cleaned the inside of the cup. Amen. So what I need to do is, when I have these feelings of anger, of resentment towards my spouse, and it happens because she's not perfect either. But boy, I would not want to be married to anyone else. It is exciting. to be married to a disciple in the kingdom of God. It's super exciting. Thing is, though, if she does something that ticks me off, my sinful nature, I will just want to go there. I'm like, okay, I'm done. My heart will want to withdraw. I want to withhold my love. So unlike Jesus, where you see him in the scriptures, his heart went out to this woman to help her, to help her son, to heal her son. So unlike Jesus, Jesus wept. However, Joe got hardened. If that scripture was Joe, Joe got hardened. Jesus wept. Joe got hardened. Who are you?
Come on.
Do you have a soft heart that's willing to respond to the scriptures? Are you teachable? We really need to look at our life in this time. If we don't look at our life, this will just be a nice informational session. And that's really not our goal. My goal really, and my prayer this week, was that everybody here will be transformed by God's power and to be more like Him. And to take the necessary steps, whether you're a follower of Jesus or whether you're still learning about it, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the scripture says in Romans. That's Romans chapter 12, if you want to look that up. You know, so the first thing we really need to do, if we want to have a great relationship with God, and if I want to have a great attitude towards repentance, so that I don't act out on my angers, I don't stuff my emotions, but I actually deal with them righteously, is I need to have an awesome view of God. And it's been revealed to me, not through my own vision, because I don't have my own visions. I have my own fantasies and my own dreams. But visions from God, the sure ones you can find in the scriptures. We're going to read about a vision from God in the scriptures. That's legitimate. I'll tell you about my own vision. Once, I was running from one side of this very room to the other. And I had boots on. Old winter boots. All right? It's snowing that week, but it had not snowed that day. But I had my boots on all day. I went to work with my work boots on. Kept them on all day. Walked here from downtown to here for a men's midweek service. It was about 2 miles. These boots looked great on the outside. All of a sudden, though, we were moving from one area to another for a baptism. So the service got over and we were going to baptize a brother who wanted to become a true disciple of Jesus. And as I'm walking, I look down and there's this brown mist that's sort of sandy and fine all around me. And I looked around and, is this a vision from God? Am I about to enter into some sort of brown mist? I didn't know what was going on. And I thought, maybe God's trying to tell me something. But then, the rest of the bottom of my shoe sole fell off. And the shoe was so old that it just crumbled into fine dust. It was not a vision from God. I was having fantasies. And a lot of times I want to go places in my relationship with God that God hasn't sent me. So if we want to go places in our relationship with God, it's going to take repentance, personal repentance in our life, and it's going to take going to the scriptures for true visions about what God wants us to see about Him. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1.
Come on.
Ezekiel was a man who lived in the 600 B.C. So 600, that's many, many years ago, if you're trying to do the math. Many, many years ago. Okay? So, he was a priest in Israel, right? But the Israelites got taken into captivity because of their sin. And not just their sin, but also Ezekiel's sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right? So Ezekiel was one of the guys who got taken into captivity. And they're in Babylon because of their sin. We're going to pick up here in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. This takes place about 539 B.C. in Babylon. In the 13th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day, while I was among the exiles by the Kibar River, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. On the 5th of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kibar River, in the land of the Babylonians. There, the hand of the Lord was upon him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning, and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was that of a man. But each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under the wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, and on his right side, each had the face of a lion. And on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out upward. Each had two wings, one touching the wing of each of another creature on either side, and the two wings covering its body. Each went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go without turning as they went. You got to picture this, all right? Talking about, what is he having? He's having visions of God. So, you've got these four creatures. The man over here, but over here is a lion, an ox. I'm guessing the back was an eagle, maybe it's the top of his head. Doesn't really say. But, these four creatures were there, all right? Then they've got wings. They got two wings covering the body, two wings out here. So they got four wings. This is a vision that God is giving Ezekiel. This is, you know, hopefully this isn't blasphemy, but this sounds crazy. What's going on here? How would that help you to be a nice person? How would that help you not to harm your neighbor? How would that help you not to, you know, go off on your wife or steal or murder? What's going on here? This is just weird. You know, that's really my gut reaction when I first read this. If that's yours too, let's see where God's going to take us as we dive deeper in here. But we really need to picture this. Picture the beginning where it says there was an immense cloud in verse 4 with flashing lightning. If anybody's ever seen the Terminator movies, when they transport in time, what happens? There's this cloud, it's like silver, it's flashing lightning. All right? God invented that kind of stuff.
Come on.
You think science fiction is intense? God is intense.
Yeah.
You know, the first point is we need to transform our Bible study. You want to live a transformed life? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind? You need to have transformed Bible study. If this just weirds you out, don't give up. If there's a scripture that you just don't get, I just don't want to do that. Don't give up. Get help. Get resolved so you can understand as much as God wants you to know. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is God breathed. So have you ever used Ezekiel chapter 1 with the four headed creatures to teach somebody? Because all scripture is useful. How is this useful? If you don't know, pay attention and stay tuned. Because I didn't know either. I had to keep studying out. Verse 13. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire. Or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright and lightning flashed out of it. The creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This is the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite. And all four looked alike. Okay. So you gotta picture these wheels. Does anybody know what chrysolite is for the rock, for the rockers. I'm not talking about 80s headbangers. I'm talking about rock collectors. My son's a rock collector. So chrysolite, it's like a gemstone. It's brilliantly green. It's beautiful. It's amazing. This is what these wheels were like. So again, I'll start in verse 16. This is the appearance and the structure of the wheels. They sparkled like chrysolite. And all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. So a wheel intersecting a wheel. So either if it's like our communion trays where there's a tray and inside there's another tray, and you could actually, if you like an old dialing phone, you could put your finger in there and spin it around. A wheel intersecting a wheel, or it was a wheel like this and it went up and down. I don't know. We don't need to know that, but we need to know this. That they were intersecting. Verse 17, as they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not turn about as the creatures went. The rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. All right? When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved. And when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go. And the wheels would rise along with them. Because the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. You got to picture this. You got the four-headed creatures with their many wings, right? Four wings. And they've got, what, are they gadgets? Are they vehicles? I don't know. But they've got eyes all around, and they're chrysolite. They're brilliant. Okay, you got gadgets? You got phones? You think that's cool? I can get excited about my phone sometimes, and sometimes, frankly, I've been so excited where I haven't been focused on anything else, but on my gadgets. And that's sin. Maybe you've got Game Boy. Maybe you've got Nintendo DS. Maybe you've got Xbox. Maybe you've got cable. You could turn your gadgets into ways to turn yourself away from God. Or maybe it's been so prevalent in your life that you've never even turned to God. It's just been knowledge that you've had. You never had the relationship. Again, we need to deepen our Bible study if we want great relationship with God. Because God's people, they've got wheels. They've got awesome wheels. Verse 21. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked like an expanse, sparkling like ice and awesome. Okay, so imagine above us, you got the creatures with their wheels and eyes all around, and then above them is not a roof, but it's an expanse of ice. Now that'd be pretty awesome. But what it says, it's an expanse of ice and awesome. So it's doubly awesome. What must this have been like? But that's the vision that God gave Ezekiel, and He wants you to have it because He put it in the Bible. Let's see why. Verse 23. Under the expanse of their wings were stretched out one towards the other. And each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures move, I heard the sound of their wings like the roar of rushing waters. Like the voice of the One Almighty. Like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered the wings. This is not Batman's wings. Batman wings just go... Okay? That's it. That's it. That's the best they can do. When these guys move their wings... It's like the voice of God. The voice of God. Are you getting closer to an image of the presence of God? This is where we need to go. Verse 25. Then there came a voice from above the expanse. So again, above the ice, that was doubly awesome. From above the expanse there came a voice. Over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. above the expanse over their heads was what looked like a throne of sapphire. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, picture your waist, from the waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, so from your belt down, he looked like fire. So he's got glowing metal, fire, and then just fire. And now, all right? This is who is on the throne. This is who God is. This is who God wants you to know about Himself. Your view of God, you need to transform it. You need to transform it. If you're just praying to a guy holding a little lamb with a beard and wounds in his hands, okay, that's a start. Yeah, that's important to know that Jesus, He died for our sin. But He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And He ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven. And, moreover, if you study the Scriptures, He is God. He is God. He and the Father, they are one. We're looking at God here. This is a view of God. You know, if you've ever seen the Silver Surfer, or have you ever seen Fantastic Four? Silver Surfer, he's like glowing metal. So picture that guy. Then, Human Torch, he's on fire. Picture that guy from the waist down. Alright? But now, he's not just a fictional superhero, but he is keeping every one of our hearts beating. And he can manage all our prayers. He can say yes or no. He can say not now, maybe later. He can say never. He can say no, you need to change that desire. That's not a godly desire. If you're praying, I prayed for years for a certain girlfriend that I had idolatry towards. I was mad at God because He never answered that prayer. If He would answer that prayer, I would have never met Denise. I would have never been reached out to by her. I would never have been challenged to change my life. If God is saying no, we need to ask Him, well, where do you want me to go, God? Are you willing to submit to where He wants you to go? Because God is not just who you think He is. He's more. He's much more. Verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around Him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down and I heard a voice of one speaking. Is this the God that you prayed to today? Is this the God that you sang to when Theo Jr. led songs? Or were you just singing? Because there's some guy up here singing. And if you didn't sing, you'd look stupid. Sometimes that's what I do. I just kind of go along because okay, it's good to be here. I guess I better start singing. We need to focus on God. God's power. God is awesome. God can help you to change whatever you think. Oh, I'll change all this stuff, but I can't change that. I can't change it. God will help you through it. But it takes looking at these visions and seeing what is God trying to show me. So again, if you want to change, if you want change, good change, not just change your underwear with somebody else. If you want good change, powerful change, you need to change your Bible study, ramp it up, and change your view of God. He's more than you think He is. He's way more. And, you know, like the prophet did here, he fell face down. He clearly understood that he was in the presence of the power that created us all, the power that gives heat, that keeps the sun going, created the sun, that was hovering over the spirit of the waters. This is who our God is. If you're not praying with belief and faith, that God can overcome these things if you're faithful. If you're not doing that, it's no surprising that your life is uninspiring. You know, if I stepped aside here, sat down, And everybody, okay, everybody line up over here. I'm not going to do this, but okay. Everybody comes up here, and then you see a flash in an instant of their life. Would you be inspired by their life? Would you be inspired? Okay, now we get to see your whole life. It's going to flash here. In an instant, we'll be able to download it quickly. Well, understood. Okay? Would you be inspired by the life that you're living? Would that inspire others? Are you radiant? If not, again, you need to change. There's something in the Scriptures, and we have a study series that can help people through that. Help them. It helped me. It literally rescued my marriage, my parenting, rescued all that. We have a study series that can help you to have solid knowledge of what God wants you to start with and then where to dive in from there. If you're not going after deep Bible study, don't be surprised if your life is not inspiring. Don't be surprised if you're sitting here and you're not radiant. Oh man, I don't want anybody to look at me. Because I'm just, you know the story of the horse? You look at the horse, why the long face? Okay? We don't want that. God wants you to know Him so you could be radiant. Now, when Moses spent time with God, he was radiant, the Bible says. Radiant. Are you radiant? If not, you don't understand the Scriptures, or you're in sin. And actually, that's a sin too, if you're not going after the Scriptures. Because you need to know God. To love Him is to obey His will. The Bible says throughout John, 1 John. Let's go now to Ezekiel chapter 2. He said to me, verse 1, who's He? Right, the Lord God. And again, this he didn't just say it, you know, in a fax or in a text message, but He showed you His posse. He showed you the four guys with the four heads and the four wings. And then He showed you that they've got awesome gadgets or vehicles or whatever they are. There's spirits in them. There's eyes. So eyes, maybe they're going throughout the whole earth and they're helping keep an eye on things. Whatever they are, there's four of these guys. They're under God. Over Him is the ice. He's on a throne. He's fired up, literally, not just excited. That God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, stand up on your feet. And I will speak to you." As He spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. And I heard Him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn." You know, I don't know about you, but I've been called obstinate and stubborn by those dearest to me. Does anybody else can relate?
Yeah.
You know what? If more than one person says it to you, maybe you're obstinate and stubborn. It took me about 10 years to accept it. But I realized I was. I realized I need to change. And it was through constant use of the Scriptures, prayer, and people not giving up on me that I can go to a next level where I can even see it. If you're here and you don't see it, you don't think you are, ask people that are faithful, that you know they have a walk with God. How is my character? Would I draw people to Jesus through my life? Or am I repulsive because of my pride and stubbornness? God doesn't want us to be like that. We know what He did to these people. He's about to have some... Actually, He enacted His revenge on the people. He carried them into captivity. You know, when I came up with the title for this lesson, Transformers 2, The Revenge of God, I had people say to me, "Oh, you can't title it that. God doesn't get revenge. We're not supposed to get revenge." I said, no and yes. No, we're not supposed to get revenge. The Bible says that in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Do not seek revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge." And if you look at the word revenge and avenge, basically in the Bible, it's the same word in the original writing. It's the same word. So God, if we have a relationship with God, we need to trust that God will take care of revenge. We're not supposed to be acting out, getting our own vengeance. But for me, a lot of times my security is not in God. And so I'll lash out on my own. That's what I'll do. I'll just lash out. Not waiting for God's revenge. I'll be just tired of waiting. I'll give up. I'll be faithless. I got to strike back here because this is not right. You know, if you look at the story of the persistent widow, what did she do? She went to God. She went, actually in the story, she went to the unjust judge. And she kept going. She kept going. And she says, avenge me. Avenge me from my adversary. And then he says, if that's how God will answer even the unjust judge, then he'll do more for his chosen ones. He'll answer. But again, we have to have the reliance on God. If we're taking our own actions in our own hands, in terms of vengeance, it's not godly. It's not godly. You know, and again, just 2 weeks ago, I wanted to lash out. I was riding my bike and a car cut in front of me. And I wanted to ride up to that car and take a little baseball bat, which I didn't have. I wanted to take a baseball bat and smash the window and then ride away and escape. And I've actually done that in the past, but with my fist, before I was a disciple. And so years later, I'm riding my bike to work, and I want to do that again. Right there. That was my challenge. Ooh, I can get revenge right here. Where did my trust in God go? Out the window. Where did my vision of God go? Out the window. I was not viewing God on a throne with this incredible posse, with this entourage that's powerful. It's faithless. Because I lost touch with my Bible study and with my knowledge. And with the Spirit that He's given me. So we really need to go back to God and a great view of Him and study it out to make sure it's accurate so that we want to have transformed lives. So we'll pick up in verse 5. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are among you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say, or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. You know, how many times, and it's just this paragraph, does he say, do not be afraid? 3 times, do not be afraid. Why does he got to tell them 3 times to not be afraid? He was afraid. God knows that we have fears. And for me, I would not acknowledge them. Most of my life, I did not acknowledge that I had fears. One time, I didn't acknowledge it so much that, gross you out or not, it literally gave me hemorrhoids. I was in trouble. I had some, let's call it mafia-related trouble. And it was so bad, this is before I was a disciple, that it gave me hemorrhoids. That's really all I can say about it. But it was fear, and it was because I had no relationship with God. And I relied on men for vengeance and self. Maybe you can relate. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. You know, I didn't understand from the scriptures that God wants us to have emotion, not just happiness. God wants us to be blessed. Absolutely. I didn't understand, though, from the scriptures that there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. Anytime I try, anytime a tear is coming out, oh, gotta get tough. Suck it back in. It's what the men do, right? You know what? I made a decision because of so many years of repressing my feelings. I made a decision that I'm not going to do that anymore. If I feel like crying, I'm gonna cry. So if you guys see me cry today, you don't need to give me a tissue. I got a nice little collar here. I'll just wipe my tears here. But really, because of years of repressing my own emotions and thinking that I was so tough, I didn't need to have. I don't get angry. No, I just stuff it. No, I'm not sad. Nope, I'm happy. Look at me, I'm happy. Because of years of doing that and years of not facing my fears, actually what it did, I finally realized this, what it did was that actually my brain wanted to deal with the emotion, but I wouldn't let my brain. I was taking captive not just every thought, but every emotion, unless it was a happy emotion, which is wrong. So yeah, take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. But he doesn't say that about take captive every emotion. It's never in the scripture. In fact, the word emotion, not in the Bible. But the specific emotions that we have, a time to laugh, a time to cry, that is in the Bible. This scroll written on both sides has lament and mourning. There's emotion involved in that. God made us to be emotional. We need to know when to express it. And then if it causes an ungodly heart reaction, then we need to get help. Pray and deal with it. I wasn't doing any of that. I was just repressing everything and just having my fun. You know, I went, it was so exciting. Went sailing with my friend Joe here today and another Joe Diaz. And it was incredible. It was such a great time that I felt like I don't have any problems. This is amazing. I'm in the presence of God. This is beautiful. Lake Michigan, you can just see this expanse of waters. I had this vision of God's Spirit hovering over the surface of the waters. It was just wasn't really a vision. It was just I was imagining how that might have been. And I could put all my troubles behind me. But the thing is, I can't live on a boat by myself with me and Joe. I'm called, like Ezekiel's called, to go to people and teach them about Him and help them and to deal with my feelings and sin. Not just to stay on a boat in isolation. And I know we all need our times of meditation and refuge. But if that's all I did, and I'm not trying to go after helping people, loving people, changing my relationship, I can't stay on that boat. I'm going to be back. Joe, we're going again. But that can't be who I am. God gives us those times to refresh us so that we could then go and do more for Him if we stay faithful and if we stay humble in our hearts. The thing for me is, again, you guys know about my back pain and all that, and couldn't walk for 3 days. I was basically disabled for 2 years. You guys know I would stand and lean on the wall or kneel, or I couldn't sit because of all the pain. What I finally realized is that it was because of I wasn't dealing with my emotions. My brain didn't want to deal with the emotion the way that God designed my brain to actually express it, talk about it, get help. So what I found out, I was reading up on this and everything else makes sense now. My brain was sending it down my back. Oh, you're not going to deal with it up here? Well, I got to send it somewhere. So it was sending the pain signals down my back. And so it was all stress. And it was crippling me. Basically, my whole life in the past 3 years have been very difficult. But now, because I'm dealing with it, I'm not afraid to admit that I have fears or anger. Guess what? When you see me now, you'll see that I'm sitting. You'll see me doing cartwheels. Ask me to do a headstand. I'll do a headstand. God healed me a long time ago. But I was too prideful to see what the healing was. I was too afraid to live life to the full, because I was not connecting with the fact that God made us to express our emotions in a godly way. And when we don't, to get help. And God is helping here, Ezekiel.
Amen.
Chapter 3. Verse 1. And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Imagine if you had to eat the Bible. This is what it was. Eat this scroll. Then, go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted sweet as honey in my mouth. Does the word of God taste that way to you? Are you excited about your Bible study? Are you so excited that you'll ask somebody, hey, can we study the Bible? You know, if this is your first time here, if you've been visiting, somebody should be asking you here. If they've got this relationship with God, they'll be asking you, hey, can we get together and study the Bible? Why? Because it excites us. Because it is sweet. It gives life. God's Word. But, you know, sometimes we get all excited about it, but then the troubles happen in our life. And we get, ooh, this is kind of bitter too. Oh, this got a bitter aftertaste. Oh, then I can't eat that anymore. Sometimes that happens. We get so bitter and hurt by stuff, we either don't want to read, or we don't want to pray. We need to go back to the Scriptures and remember His Word is sweet. And we need to keep going there. If we don't feel it sweet, there's sin in our life. We're being deceived by something. Whether for me, my own emotion, maybe it's someone else, maybe it's false teaching, maybe it's tradition. But we need to go back to the Word, which is sweet.
Amen.
Verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go now to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of obscure speech or difficult language, whose words you can't understand. Surely, if I had sent them to you, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel is not willing to listen to you, because they are not willing to listen to me. For the whole house of Israel is hardened and obstinate, but I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them. There it is again. Fourth time. Or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. Then he said to me, Son of man, listen carefully and take heart to all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile, and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Lord, Sovereign Lord, says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Now, really, you got to picture this, okay? Whether they listen or fail to listen. A lot of times our security rests in how many visitors we're bringing to church, or how many Bible studies we're in, or how many people we shared our faith with. Is that where your security is? Or is it in God? Whether the people listen or not, God wants you to go and preach the good news. First, make sure you have it yourself. And then go and preach it. Oh, well, this is just Ezekiel. Well, all throughout the Scriptures, New and Old Testament, you'll find that a disciple, one of the main purposes of a disciple, when they know God, is to make other disciples. That's God's plan. As I talked about last week, it's God's only rescue plan. He's not going to send cars who transform into robots to save you. He's not. He's not going to send any Hasbro toys to save you. He's not going to send video game characters like Gamer to break out of the game and save you. He's not going to do that. Luke Skywalker is not coming. You're supposed to be coming. You're the one with the good news. You're supposed to get it and bring it to others and make a disciple. That's God's plan. If you don't accept God's plan, then the word's going to be bitter. Ooh, it's not honey. Blech. Let's spit that out. Maybe you rejected it. And maybe you're still just trying to find your place of tranquility. God wants us to have those places of tranquility, those fortresses of solitude. But we're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to be recharged by His Word and go out and bring it to others. That's the plan, whether people listen or not. That's God's plan. Now, you may say, well, I know God's plan. Yeah, that's great. Let me go do it. A lot of times, though, we lose focus with the fact, though, that, okay, we're disciples, we're supposed to make disciples, but we forget why. We forget that it's because the Son of Man took up our sin. He bore our sins in His body on the tree, NIV, on the cross. You don't have to turn there, but that's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Talking about who? Jesus Christ. It's out of gratitude. Oh, wow. Somebody else can take my sin. All the troubles I've caused Denise. All the troubles I've caused other people. Somebody's going to take that from me. Not just somebody, but the Creator of the universe will take that off me. Is that valuable to you? Now, if I asked you, though, is that the only time somebody else ever took up the sins of another and bore their sins in their body? What would you say? Isn't that the only time? Is that the only time that somebody bore their sins? I hear a lot of nodding. Yeah, it's the only time. Some of you guys know your Bibles because you know Jesus. He took up all our sin. But did you know that it's not the only time? What am I talking about? Well, Ezekiel chapter 4. Let's see. This will deepen your Bible study. And hopefully this will help to prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, as it'll be passed around in just a few moments, to really appreciate what God's done for us, the sacrifice. But God put something in there to prepare us even before He did it. He put many things in there. Ezekiel 4, verse 1. Now, Son of Man. Again, this is God, Lord God Almighty, on the throne, talking to Ezekiel. Now, Son of Man, take a clay tablet. Put it in front of you and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. I like this because it shows that this prophet was an artist. He drew on the city of Jerusalem, okay? Got a clay tablet. All right? He didn't have a tablet PC. He had a clay tablet. Didn't have any software issues. He took a clay tablet and drew the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it. Erect siege works against it. Build a ramp up to it. Set up camps against it. And put battering rams around it. Then, take an iron pan. Place it as an iron wall between you and the city. And turn your face towards it. It will be under siege. And you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. So again, God wants to give you a powerful visual aid of what's going on. Oh, you don't want to follow God? Okay. You're going to have opposition. You will have opposition. And God creates this model. Opposition. You will be against God. You're against God. This will be a sign to the house of Israel. Verse 4. Then, lie on your left side and put the sin of the house of Israel upon yourself. You are to bear their sin for the number of days you lie on your side. I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for 390 days, you will bear the sin of the house of Israel. So when Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree, turns out it's not the first time. If you preach that, if you taught that, you got to look at this and figure out this. Because here it says that Ezekiel bore the sins. It was born on itself. For 390 days. You read further, another 40 days for the house of Judah. lying on his side. This tells me two things. Because when I read this for the first time, it totally glossed over it. Wow. I don't know my Bible well enough. I don't know the mind of God the way I want to. I want to dive in more. I eagerly desire to know more. Is that your heart? Or is it just, okay, time to check in. Got to read my scriptures. Oh, God, oh, I can't, I don't have time to read. I will start early, so I'm just going to turn on the radio and listen to Christian radio. Oh, well, that'll do. Well, hey, this is, hey, you know, they didn't have Bibles back then. Jesus, just, there was a couple scrolls lying around. No, that's no excuse. If we want a relationship with God, we need to have. I don't know about you, but if I go a day without this, I start to feel more influence of the world turning me around. And actually what that is back to the beginning. That's Satan's angels masquerading and leading me. I don't want to be led by that. I want to be led by God's Word. I need to be led by God's Word. Because He created situations. And an ultimate situation with Jesus to bear our sin. And open up our mind and say, wait, wow. Jesus bore all the hits, all the punishment that I should have taken. I should be dying for that. You know, were any of the people of Israel back then, were they grateful that Ezekiel was lying on his side for 390 days? Oh, here, let me get you some treats, you know, since God's having you do this. Thank you. I don't know. Doesn't really say that anybody really showed gratitude. Do we show gratitude to the people in our life that are trying to teach us about God? That have brought us here today? That have given us birth? Are we showing gratitude to people that want to bring us closer to God? Or are we just going through the motions? And we've already got planned what we're going to eat for lunch, what we're going to do the rest of our day. God, check the clock. Oh, this is going longer than normal. Or are we like, wait a second, we need to stop everything and get an incredible view of God, be inspired by God and His powerful entourage, and realize, wow, if we appreciate that and we respond to the gospel the way the scriptures say, we could be part of God's entourage. We could be part of His family. And I look at my life and be like, you got to be kidding me. After all I've done, I can still be part of this? One day I'll see God on His throne with the four creatures. And if you read Revelation, you'll find those guys again. I can be part of this. You can be part of this. But you will never be part of this unless you dive in and study the Bible with people. People here that can help you. And look at your sin and ask God, show me my sin, please God. And believe in the power of prayer and obedience to Christ. And believe that what Jesus did for us when He rose from the dead after bearing our sins, you know, He didn't stay dead. He rose and opened up heaven for us so that we could have that relationship. And when we die, if we continue, if we hold to His teachings, we could be there with Him. In His presence. I don't know about you, but I want to get there. I want to see if I could test my hand. Oh, I wonder if that ice, that double awesome ice, is that cold or is it just, what does it feel like? Oh, well, can I get up on top of there and actually like sit by the throne? Or is that too close? Or I want to, what can I do? This is the vision that we need to leave here with today. We want to be with God. First, we've got to make sure though that we look at our sin and lay it before the cross. Because Jesus took it up. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much for Your Word. God, thank You so much for just for the plan that You have to give us a great vision of where we can be. We can be in Your presence. Please, God, I know that, you know, even though this is exciting and we can read about something just incredible, I know that we can leave this place and the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth can take us out and choke us. Please, God, help us to stay close to You. Stay close to Your Word and stay close to people who will be willing to lay down their life, who will be willing to teach us the Word whether we accept it or not, and to be patient with us, God. Thank You so much for being patient with me, for not just ending it the first time I said no and swore at the disciple who reached out to me or just spoke abusively about Your church those years ago. Just so grateful that You give us second chance and You have mercy, God. And I'm so grateful that You're the one who avenges and You take the revenge when it's time. And God, I pray that we never get so cold to You that You have to enact it on us because we're so stubborn. Please, God, help us all to be humble. I pray that every one of us will lead a transformed life, God, so that we will realize, well, the punishment that we bore, the revenge we should have had, that You took. You took and gave it to Your Son. That's the ultimate revenge, God, that You spared us, that You didn't take the vengeance on us. Thank You so much for that. That excites me. And God, I pray that it always excites us. And it always excites our children and those we reach out to, God. Help the Word to be sweet to us, just as Your sacrifice is amazing. And bitter, but also sweet. Because You rescued us. That's Your plan. We love You, Jesus. In Your name we pray. Amen.